Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
So, Mike, we got an answer from Daniel Bryan tonight. The answer was no, 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 and then it became yes when he issued the challenge to Bray Wyatt. What seemed inevitable and predictable is now official. Daniel Bryan challenging The Fiend Bray Wyatt for the Universal title at Survivor Series. Daniel Bryan saying no to Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura earlier in the show, calling them out on not helping him last week after their whole pitch was, you need us to watch your back. Bryan astutely pointed out, The Fiend attacked me and you guys ran, so no thanks. Then on Miz TV, Miz says, Bryan, you don't know who you are anymore, the old Daniel Bryan or the new Daniel Bryan who likes to recycle. And who are you? And Bryan got all worked up and yelled that one thing he always has and still has is passion. And then he was interrupted by Bray on the big screen. One thing led to another, and we got ourselves a pretty compelling Universal title match, including Bray dropping a hint that maybe the Fiend did it because he remembers what Bryan did. So all kinds of things to read into. Mike, your assessment of this show closing angle, Miz TV closing out SmackDown and setting the stage for 9 days from now, Bray against Bryan. And I think one of the matches people will be looking forward to most on the show.
I think as a match, it is intriguing, like you said. Daniel Bryan against The Fiend, what will that be like? I don't know. Daniel Bryan is really smart, and I trust him to get into this and do something cool with The Fiend, I hope. As far as the show itself goes, like if I was in attendance, and even watching at home, I kind of thought it was anticlimactic. Like, I don't know that they built this up as the main event for the show. Miz TV is tonight's main event. But the show ended with Daniel Bryan looking confused and sort of wandering back up the ramp. And
yes,
that wasn't that exciting. But the match itself, I guess, an exciting development.
It seemed like they might have ended a little soon. Like Bray said...
Yep.
Chanted a lot at the end there, yes, 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 and the crowd is sort of joining in, and then they sort of trailed off, and yeah, it felt like maybe they ended 20 seconds too soon or something, so in that sense, it was flat. I'll say this. I have had an issue with Daniel Bryan not saying no to Sami Zayn right away. I mean, if you're turning babyface, you spend a year as a heel with mixed results, and you want fans to get behind you and go, the old Daniel Bryan is back, kind of like contemplating silently the preposterous partnership proposal. I just did that on the spot of Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura. Paul Heyman would be so proud. Is pondering this for weeks and not just saying no right away. Who do you think I am? You know, like that was bad. I will say, I think they saved it a little with the idea being, as Miz introduced, that Bryan is conflicted. He doesn't know who he is yet. And what that added to me, intrigue-wise, it had a little intrigue, and I don't know that they're overtly going here, but the idea is Bray is mentally unstable. Bryan is saying, I'm mentally unstable. Someone who's mentally unstable is the only type of person who can deal with somebody like Bray / Fiend who's mentally unstable. I think that's a pretty good table setting for this, that they're sort of admitting, yeah, Bryan doesn't necessarily – he's kind of at a crossroads. He's a little torn. He's a lot torn between – what happened to him in the last year and his relationship with the Yes Movement. And in a way, I you said the words, you know, you kind of trust Daniel Bryan. I kind of trust Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan to make this a little more than maybe I was expecting in terms of the backstory building up to it. And it's anticlimactic in the sense we knew the match was coming. I didn't think it ended on the crescendo of this great crowd eruption, but I also ended up in the end going, I kind of want to see what they do next week and what they do at Survivor Series. So in that sense, I give it a thumbs up because it kind of kept me interested in that whole Miz TV segment and the interaction with Bryan kind of revealing and finally speaking what's going on in his own head. Because I'm invested in the Bryan character, I ended up more interested in this match than I thought I would be.
For sure. And just one more thing about trusting Bryan and Bryan being a smart guy. He wove into his in-ring promo there about some of his questionable behaviors in the past. He played that into the current story of him being mentally unstable, which is in alignment with The Fiend or Bray Wyatt being mentally unstable. And it was nice that he, it's just kind of rare to see WWE having, pitching their past a little bit and acknowledging things that Daniel Bryan did in his past, like kicking an opponent in the groin. He's supposed to be a good guy.
I wonder if it was also a callback to when Bryan joined the Wyatt family and that didn't last very long. And if they play into that, I mean, that is rewarding long-term fans. I don't know if it serves the purpose well to go that far back and talk about something that was sort of aborted pretty quickly, but there is that history that if they want to pluck that either through some online supplemental content or next Friday on SmackDown, that's there if they think they can do a good job with it.
Yep, and it could be, they could go all the way back to that. That might have been what the what Bray Wyatt tonight on that last Funhouse segment was alluding to when he said, "I know what you did," or "You know what you did," and "He knows what you did." And I also was wondering if it had anything to do with the didn't Daniel Bryan have this fleeting announcement he was going to make, but then it just sort of went away. I assume that has nothing to do with this.
You know what? It would be great if it did, because then they would actually tie that loose end. But I'm willing to give them credit, Bryan and Bray, credit for making this more interesting than I had anticipated. But I'm not quite sure I'm willing to go far enough to say that Bryan never answered that question, and they still remember that was there. They still think people care. They still feel a responsibility to tie it together, or that they had a master plan all along, and that we'll get that answer. But I'm not ruling it out. I just don't have faith that is the payoff we're going to get. But that would be intriguing, too, if Bryan's big announcement is tied to Bray going, "I know what you did," and it's actually something that we don't know Bryan did, that he was going to address in that announcement that never came.
There you go.
Yes. All right. We solved it all. All right. Let's set the table, introduce ourselves. More happenings on the show, more NXT run-ins, more Survivor Series developments, another 10-minute Baron Corbin promo, which we'll do a reading of word for word at half speed, because, you know, it wasn't boring enough the first time. I should be that hard on it, but maybe it deserves it. So let's set the table, introduce ourselves. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show following Friday night SmackDown on Fox Broadcast Network for November 15th, 2019. I'm Wade Keller, host of the program, and I am joined with a first-time co-host, but I think I'll say long time. I mean, not as long as some, but a veteran PWTorch.com TV reporter covering WWE Main Event and WWE Kickoff shows on pay-per-view Sundays, Mike F. Myers. Mike, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. Glad you could join me, and it's good to get a new voice on here. Feel free, as always, to disagree with me and challenge me and point out any of my errors if I make, you know, my second one of the year on the show. It's good to keep things honest, and we will have a conversation about all of SmackDown, and we invite callers to join us. The phone number to join us is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, please push 1 on your keypad to flag yourself on our switchboard. That indicates that you want to be on the show and you're not just kind of hanging out listening, maybe going to want to join the conversation, maybe not. So you got to push 1 when you want to join the conversation. And you can also email us if that works better for you, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That is also the email if you want to send a general question for our flagship and mailbag shows over on our blue logo show, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. We have two feeds, one for our post shows. Like last Saturday, we did one after AEW Full Gear. We did one after Raw, after AEW Dynamite, and now here after SmackDown, all in the last week. Over on the blue brand, we do our flagship shows, our mailbags, our interviews, our interview classics. So check that out too. We'll have more content up this weekend. Yesterday, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net joined me for the flagship, a mega show about 2 hours long, going in depth on NXT and AEW, including our reaction to the ratings that came in from Wednesday night while we were recording on Thursday. So check out the Thursday flagship over on the blue logo show. But first things first, we've got our conversation that we'd like to get going with you. And we have 615-305, and we had 317. He just dropped off. So you can actually be third in line. Give us a call. 347-215-8558. That is 347-215-8558. And push 1 on your keypad if you want to join the conversation. So let's now go to 615 first and 305 on deck. 615, go ahead, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wayne, Mike, this is Sean, proud VIP member from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Sean. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you again.
Lou.
Yeah, Mike, it's good to hear from you. I feel sorry in a lot of ways you have to cover Main Event because, you know, this one of those shows you just – it's like that's obviously out of 18 billion shows, that'd be the one you do not watch at all. So I feel – you know, in some ways I feel bad that you have to cover it every single week. It's like, oh, gosh, there's some way I wish I could cover something different, just anything other than Main Event. But I appreciate you doing
Sean,
it.
Are you Sean, are you trying to talk Mike into quitting right on the air? Do you not know what a responsibility it is to cover the show that fewer people watch than the other shows? Like, he has to carry the torch for this show and let people know what's happening.
No, I appreciate I do appreciate it, Mike. No, thank you for doing that. You know, there
listen,
are people
somebody
I,
has to cover Main Event, and that man is Mike Myers, and I guarantee the Main Event report to be as entertaining, if not more entertaining, than Main Event itself.
Right. I still, Sean, hold on a second. I still love a few weeks ago when like Mojo did something out of the normal format of match, recap, match, and you were like, hey, this could be a new era. And then it was right back to normal after that.
Yep, that was it.
Yep. All right, go ahead, Sean.
No, Mike, it's good to talk to you. Yeah, the show, for the most part, was still pretty, I just didn't care for it, you know, a lot of stuff. I mean, I like you said, Wade, I was thinking about when Brian was talking about that. I did think the same thing about when he was with the Wyatt family for like, you know, 2 weeks, and he turned on them like immediately, and it was like, okay, you're really talking about that? That didn't seem, I mean, what would be the point of that in some way? But I mean, it's obviously they turned on him, so I mean, I guess you could think. But I like the promo. I like where Brian was going with it, because I do feel like he's just building up this slow babyface turn, like you said, conflicted. I really liked it a lot because it does make me intrigued about the match, just knowing, you know, technically two, you know, quote unquote mentally unstable people are going against each other. And but at the same time, it's like could be a lot of no selling again in that match. So I'm kind of worried about that from I don't know. I'm intrigued by it though. I will say that. But I did, because going back to the women's craziness that happened, I mean, I love that the NXT people are getting a chance to kind of show themselves. And who, but again, it's like, you know, I don't want the brand supremacy stuff. I don't care about that. You have Sasha Banks saying, you know, how Nikki Cross is dumb and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're all getting together and they're all tagging together, you know, because they all care about the brand and we got to defend our brand. It's just pointless to me. I just don't care anything for it. And so even though I like a lot of the talent that's in there, the stuff they're fighting for just makes no sense. I mean, what did you guys think about that? I just thought that was just a random match that just meant nothing other than which brand technically is better, which didn't mean anything.
Mike, I'll throw to you first. What do you think?
I totally agree. I mean, it's that time of year leading up to Survivor Series where the theme for matches, especially tag matches and whatnot, is it's going to get broken up by imposters. And that's what happens. It's all the lead up to Survivor Series. And all it's really good for is just if you're into the sport of the Survivor Series match, maybe these groups can put together great matches at Survivor Series, but it's hard to get around the story they try to tell in the meantime of being loyal to a brand, especially with rivalries amongst a brand. The only thing I can say that they're doing better this year than in recent years past is that they're not wearing matching large t-shirts.
We were hoping if we didn't mention it, Mike, they would forget they did it. I'm a little worried that'll come back next week now that we've brought it up.
We've got another
you.
Week, and I hope it's because of the torch that they come back next week.
You can take credit for it or blame. They did keep Shayna Baszler and Rhea Ripley apart. Like, they didn't have them actually share the ring, which I thought was at least a positive. I mean, they're out there, rah-rah, you know, Team NXT, but I was like, you can't have those two standing side-by-side fighting. And at least I think they had the wherewithal to kind of keep Shayna away from her. But I don't know how many ways to say that the idea that these intense personal rivalries are secondary to defending your turf in a sport that isn't a team sport just a few weeks after a lot of people got reshuffled. I mean, Yeah, there's a way you could tell a story if it was NXT versus Raw, and they just like, or NXT versus SmackDown, and it was NXT babyfaces against SmackDown heels, where the SmackDown group of heels said NXT's nothing, you know, whatever, make their case, and then NXT babyfaces show up and said, you know, we are the main brand, we're going to show you we're the main roster, and you would have like a heel face matchup, and there would be some brand pride that I think would resonate because people would be, yeah, the NXT guys are proud. I don't want them to say the little engine that could, because that's really dumb, but I do think people feel that. They don't want it said in those words, but they feel it. And if you set up NXT as a babyface brand up against a foursome or fivesome of heels on from SmackDown or Raw, I think that would resonate with fans, and I think it would increase the NXT fans would come out and really have something to root for. But when you have a mix of face and heels from one brand and faces and heels from another brand, and they're intermixing, but suddenly it's like they're more loyal to their brand and each other than the feuds that dictate their actions the other 11 months of the year. It's just nonsense. And it really disengages fans and is a narrative breaking month of storylines. So I think there's ways they could have pulled this off, Mike, had they done it differently.
Yep. I mean, you just mapped out a really high quality way to book towards Survivor Series if they insist on doing the Survivor Series gimmick every year. And what's also kind of disheartening is that we could probably predict that everything's just going to go back to normal with very little mention of other brands once Survivor Series is over. Like all of this stuff that's been happening for, you know, the 3 weeks leading up to the pay-per-view is just going to be cut off, and that'll be the end of it.
Wait a second. Isn't this the most ultimate determination of supremacy within WWE? Won't they just be talking about this nonstop? Aren't there major ramifications? Don't they win a big cash prize or raises or an advantage in the future for some like WrestleMania main events? No, you're right. It goes poof. The week after, it's like it never happened. And
well, if I understand correctly, the two shows that do not reign supreme at Survivor Series will be canceled off of their respective networks.
Well, now you might be right about that. I'm not sure it's because of Survivor Series, but it could have to do with ratings, depending on how things go. Yeah, spoiler alert for the networks. Network executives keeping a close eye on things. All right, we'll go back to Sean. Any follow up or additional topics?
Yeah, I want to kind of talk about the women again really fast. About Alexa Bliss, I know they're keeping her off TV right now, which is probably a good thing for her, kind of get, you know, people excited about her again, maybe here pretty soon. But where do you think she's officially going to go babyface when she comes back? And where do you think they're going? Because I still love her as a personality. Like, obviously, I want her to continue to get better in the ring. Do you guys have an idea of where you think they're going to go with her once she gets back on TV? I'm assuming sometime after Survivor Series.
Mike, what do you think?
I don't know what they're going to do with her, and neither does WWE. I think she'll probably succeed at whatever they have her do. I just hope that they stop trying to make her be sultry and sexy and be herself. As long as they can do that, she'll be fine. But as far as mapping out like opponents and babyface or heel, I'm not sure, but she's really talented, more out of the ring than in.
What do you want to see, Sean?
Now you're putting me on the spot. I don't know. I just know I want her to be a babyface because I do, you know, again, you could tell on Twitter how she is a really good person, and I really think she could. Yeah. It's a perfect role for her, knowing how small she is anyway. Like you said, Wade, many times. Like, I think it's great. And so I don't know anybody I think would be fine if they can just tell the right story and get out of the way and just let her tell a story. I think it'd be great. But I did have one more quick question. I like that they gave Heavy Machinery a pretty good squash tonight. Like, I mean, I do like them. I think they can go some places, even though obviously they don't really care much about tag teams in general. But do you think they will win the tag team titles at some point? Because I would like them to get the titles put on them sometime in the future because, I mean, the crowd loves them. They're fun. I mean, Otis is, you know, it gets a little crazy at times, obviously. But I think they're good in the ring. I think they do some good things. Like, where do you think the future could be for them?
Yeah, Sean, I think it could go two ways. I think they could end up, you know, kind of being mid-card, a mid-card sort of comedy, kid-friendly tag team act. That just kind of a level below whoever is the champions and the number one contenders. I lean a little more likely towards they'll get their turn. I think they're good enough in the ring, and they aren't. They're not. I mean, B Team had a run with the takedowns. So like B Team are comedy. You know, I mean, Ryder and Hawkins are sort of a hapless, you know, comedy underdog team. There are teams that aren't like top level who get tag team title runs. I don't think Heavy Machinery would be perceived as in that group. I think they'd be perceived as having earned it. I Heavy Machinery against Roode and Ziggler for the tag titles could work. Heavy Machinery taking on a bigger, more threatening team, more along the lines of AOP would, I think, be more intriguing. And if they held their own, and I think it's believable that they could, they have their comedy aspects, but I think that they're credible enough and have enough size in one way or the other to compete. I think fans would get behind something like that if they were an underdog team and holding their own and being scrappy and finding a way to compete, if not win. So yeah, I would say they can reach that level. I have a pretty high ceiling for them and have for quite a while, even going back to NXT. Mike, how about you?
I agree. I mean, if nothing else, we know that they're good sports and they're willing to put in the sort of work they're putting in right now for WWE. And if they keep doing that, I think they can turn down the comedy, you know, 30-40% and turn up the intensity 40%. We had a conversation really similar to this via email about the New Day a while ago. And at what point does it become satisfying to see them turn up the intensity and the anger? And I think there's no reason that Heavy Machinery can't do that. So I totally think that that could be in their future.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Sean, appreciate it. Good starter call for our show today.
Yeah, guys. Wade, thanks for all you do, man. You take advantage of the holiday sale, people. It's awesome. VIP is the best. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. Yeah. Our coupon code to get $8.50 off our sub, which means a month is $1.49. Get VIP for $1.49 for a full month. Holiday 19. So go to PWTorchVIPinfo.com. That's PWTorchVIPinfo.com. And enter coupon code Holiday 19. That $8.50 discount, that coupon code can be used for a 3-month or 1-year sub too. So you can get a whole year of VIP for $90.50, which is a really good value for, I think, how much you'll probably use the service. And most of all, you get additional VIP shows that are exclusive for VIP members, but a really nice perk is having ads and plugs edited out of the shows that go up on VIP. Hopefully I remember this one since it's kind of in the middle of calls. So sorry if I didn't. All right, we'll go to 305 next and then on deck 479. 305, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade. Hey, Mike. How's it going? It's Javier from Miami.
Javier, good to hear from you.
Hey, Javier.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Is it just me, or is the booking of SmackDown and Raw beginning to feel like Mad Libs? If you remember those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have them read to me on a regular basis by a certain family member.
Or it's
I'm very
like
familiar
blank
with
and blank are having...
Yeah.
Yeah, blank
totally.
And blank are having a wrestling match. Blank, blank, blank and blank, jump them. Blank and blank make the save. Everybody has a four-man
tag. Yeah,
it.
Totally, yeah. Especially this, you mean in particular for Survivor Series type?
Yeah, yeah, during the Survivor. Well, I mean, it's sad that it also happened outside of the Survivor Series type, but yeah, particularly
yeah.
For the last how long has eternity been that we've been on this Survivor Series build?
Yeah, yeah. No, it does.
You know,
I mean,
yeah,
there is an interchangeability to – hey, there's some guys from another brand. Should I be cheering for the brand that I tuned in to watch? Should I be cheering for the wrestlers who are running in? Well, let's see. Sasha's getting beat up, so I like that. But now, but I kind of like NXT. It's just like, you know, you don't know who to cheer for. I mean, it's not what pro wrestling is supposed to be. It's not based on anything that pro wrestling is. And it is kind of Mad Libs. It's a good analogy. It's here's a format sheet. It's the same for each show. We just twist a little dial to change the colors of who's in the ring versus who's running in.
Yeah, and I was with you on Baron Corbin, but I'm thinking I'm going to be getting off that bandwagon because it's getting to be his skits are being too long, and yeah, I'm just not feeling the whole Corbin thing.
I know in the mailbag we have a subject line from Robert that says, run, spot, run, dot, dot, dot. That happened. So we'll be getting into that. But, yeah, I mean, I put in my SmackDown report on PWTorch.com tonight that I think WWE backstage on Tuesday nights on FS1 should just be Vince McMahon getting the pitch to have a dog mascot and a yippie dog on the big screen and just watch Vince McMahon go, genius. I'd love to see the creation of this. Yeah.
I would like to see Vince McMahon, the how his reactions in the back are, because it really, I can't put it into words. It's you know.
Well, Wade,
yeah,
has long suggested they have a picture-in-picture feature,
yeah,
where it's just a steady cam or an ISO cam on Vince in Gorilla and watching his reactions, whether he's loving it or hating it. And tonight, if I'm not mistaken, the dog yipping for it was meant to resemble Roman Reigns was yipping in time with Reigns' entrance music. And if we could add to that Vince McMahon saying hilarious, it'd be a really good mega.
Totally. I mean, you know, if WWE Network had a simulcast of Raw and SmackDown every Monday and Friday night, but on the network, you got a second screen experience inset, and it's just Vince McMahon on headset. This is hilarious. Just knee slapping. You know, it's like I always think about the Hillbillies and how excited he was when Uncle Elmer and Hillbilly Jim would do Hillbilly stuff. And he just, oh my God, he was just delighted. And he would do it on air, you know, like, so we know what he would be like. It's just, he's older now, you know, but we know he loves that stuff. And so the dog coming out, I mean, think about the thought bubbles of people in Gorilla when Vince is just in his own world, just it's like, you know, a cat playing with a new feather toy. It's like, oh my God, a dog mascot. Oh, I love it. I mean, and you're what, you can just imagine the thought bubbles of everyone around him who's like, yes, Vince, this is good entertainment. You are genius and you should give raise to a person with this idea. But that was their big idea this week, and it didn't serve a purpose. Like, I was expecting, and maybe it's good it didn't follow this cliche, but it didn't help make it not pointless. I assumed, like, the mascot was going to take off its head and it was going to be some guy who didn't like Baron Corbin, if not in the first segment, later on. That Roman would come to the ring in the dog outfit. Maybe that wouldn't be good, but it would at least give a purpose to the skit that, you know, Baron Corbin got it backfired that he had a dog mascot to mock Roman. But it was just sort of there hanging out. It got, frankly, a little kind of just, I don't know, disconcerting mascot at ringside for no reason. I don't know.
Well, it did behave. It was obeying Corbin's orders in the ring when it first came out. So there is that. And between that and the animated dog, and by the way, the animated dog was a cute brown little puppy with large ears, and the dog costume was a large gray adult bulldog. So those didn't match up. I was not pleased with that. It's also a little weird to think that that Vince apparently is willing to poke fun at Roman now. When you think about a year ago, it'd be, or 2 years ago, whatever, it'd be hard to imagine Vince willing to poke this kind of fun at Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Mike, what's your take on the status of Roman? Like, I will say he this week, he seemed to be more into what was going on. Now, I wouldn't say genuinely so, but he was putting forth the effort to seem like he was more into what was going on. I thought there was more passion and crowd interaction. It was one of those weeks where he didn't just, and part of it is the context of, you know, kind of being insulted and walking out and then doing the, you know, chasing Corbin at ringside and stuff. But it felt like he's a little more into things. But I also just do feel like we're in this just weird holding pattern with Reigns before he ends up being the one person who, you know, can beat The Fiend at WrestleMania next year, if that's where they're headed. And that it's just like, okay, we just need to do a Corbin feud to get through the rest of the year, like Corbin was used to get set through the summer.
It may be that we're in a holding pattern with Reigns, but that's almost more comfortable for me than what we're used to with Reigns, because I'm not even thinking of, until you just mentioned it right there, I haven't been thinking about the other shoe dropping with Reigns. I just feel like Reigns is another guy on the roster. Not another guy. I don't mean like a guy low on the card, but he came out tonight and I thought he acted like a cheerleader. He came out of anger because of being goaded by Corbin, but then he was there to cheer on Shorty G and Ali. And I noticed the director made a lot of effort to feature Roman at least as much as all the wrestlers in the match were being featured. But he was animated. He was cheering them on. He got in a ring with them after they won the match, and he held their hands up. He was smiling. He was being, I don't know what you might call a good friend, which is not something Reese is seeing from him, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, the character of Roman Reigns has always been a little too cool for school. And, you know, I'll stroll to the ring at my pace, and I'll go kind of go through the motions. And he was always just sort of, playing to an audience of women who thought that he was really sexy because he just didn't seem to care that much. And kids who saw him as a superhero, and that turned guys against him. And a lot of that stuff just been sort of, it's sort of there, but the promotional positioning and hype isn't there. And so it seems a little less annoying. And therefore he's not getting the big negative reactions. And obviously part of it is the real life story with a cancer, but it feels like the edge is gone. And it almost felt like he sort of felt like the edge was gone. And at least this week, he seemed to at least put forth the effort to seem like he cared, but it is kind of, it does feel like a holding pattern. I don't think he's going to be just another, you know, top tier wrestler in an ensemble. I think they're working towards him being a centerpiece again. But when that happens, he's, you know, what we saw with Cody a week and a half ago, and what we saw with Jericho and MJF on Dynamite this week, that's a reminder of how good promos can be with a lead babyface or lead heels. And Roman just doesn't have that in his toolbox, and that really holds him back. There's never been a top babyface pushed as much as him or having any level of success on top who didn't have that just kind of guttural, deep emotional connection with fans in that go-home promo before a big match, whether he was challenging or defending for a title or trying to settle a feud. And Roman just doesn't quite get there. Or sometimes he doesn't even seem to try or isn't given the opportunity because he's come up short. And I want that to surface when we get to the stage. I want there to be something that he can tap into and really connect in a way that he hasn't before. And if it takes kind of stepping back like he is here and just sort of having a winter of 2019 feud with Corbin to kind of lay low for a while before coming forth with some new layer, I'm for that. But otherwise, it's going to be, I think, the same story again, even if he is the one guy who fans think can stop the Fiend. Javier, mm-hmm. anything else you want to either to that or a different topic?
I know that was it. Unless you'd like me to plug in hits and misses.
Oh yeah, do it. Plug it.
Yeah. I got to tease. I'm not dumb. I knew that doing hits and misses, the impact hits and misses, I at
Ooh,
some point would have
yes.
to use this word. But I thought it would take longer than 3 weeks before I had to use the word defecate in a sentence.
But you did.
So if you
and it's there.
If you want to know the context, check out Hits and Misses on pwchurch.com.
Covering Impact Wrestling, yes.
Yeah.
Mike, would you? Thanks, Javier. I love teasers, and people can now go see what the context for that was. Awesome.
Have a good night, guys.
To you soon. Yeah, you bet. Mike, do you think we should have a Hits and Misses column on Main Event?
Absolutely not.
No, I don't think so either. When you joined the PWTorch.com team and covered it, I was like, you know, maybe, you know, at the top of the article, like tell people reasons to watch, you know, because obviously it's not an A show or, you know, it's not one of the primary shows, but there's got to be something to make it worth watching. And you try so hard, like you really dig deep to come up with reasons to watch. And you know, sometimes it has to do with a commentary. Sometimes it has to do with a move or a facial expression, but you give people a reason to watch and look for what you say is the reason that it might make it, you know, worth watching.
And that's all I'm trying to do. And when the viewership for Main Event goes up by 4 or 5 people, I think it'll be because of this column.
Yes. Yeah. Just like when they wear red and yellow and blue t-shirts next week, it's going to be because of you mentioning it 10 minutes ago.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right, cool. We'll go to 479 and then after that 917. And then after that, we'll probably get to our on-site correspondent who is standing by from Philadelphia, and then we'll get to the mailbag after that. 479. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Grant from Fort Smith.
Grant, good to hear from you again. Fort Smith what?
Yeah. Arkansas.
Fort Smith where? Yeah, I know. I just don't stick with that. All right. If someone called up for like Los Angeles, I'd be Los Angeles what? I don't know why.
I usually call because I'm excited about a show, but this show was probably one of the most boring SmackDowns I think I've seen in a while. I think we started the show off with a 20-minute talking segment, and we ended the show with a 20-minute talking segment, and there was a couple of decent wrestling matches, but for the most part, it was pretty blasé. Did we jinx the show by having Mike on and we got a SmackDown main event night tonight?
I think, with all due respect to Mike's efforts with main event, that this was a more newsworthy show than that. Now, there is some Mad Lib aspect to it, as Javier said, you know, the plug in the name of the brand and the wrestlers and they do the same thing, but just, you know, switch who's in what role. But with that said, I mean, Chad Gable and Mustafa Ali against Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler, that's four really good athletes. You know, two, like, experienced veterans on the heel side and two in their prime younger guys. And for 12 minutes minus 3.5 minutes in the middle for a commercial, that was good athleticism. I mean, I was happy to see that matchup when they announced it, and I think it lived up to expectations. Yes, it's in the context of an opening match on SmackDown with stipulations that were not followed up on. You know, did we get any word, Mike, on who's going to be in that tag match? Did it reshuffle the match, or do we get a rematch next week? Mike, do you know if there was a follow up on that?
Hey, sorry about that. I was muted.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
We'll clean this up in post-production, so don't worry about it.
Perfect. Well, I believe it was to decide who was joining the SmackDown Survivor Series team.
Yeah,
that was
what
was being decided, and I think Ali and Gable
made it
onto the team.
That's right. Now I need to clean this up even more. I was thinking of the tag team match later than in an old contest where the Revival got the rematch, and that was in my head. And then Nikki Cross and Bayley was also a no decision. So there are two out of three matches, no decision. I picked the one to pick on that wasn't X. And at least we did get that. So we know that they're in the ring. And in fact, I was kind of surprised by that. I thought they were going to load up Team SmackDown with heels, you know, to make it more like now we know who to cheer, who to boo. And no, they kept Ali, and at least for now, they kept Ali and Gable in there. And now I'm sort of like, well, now are we really rooting against them? Are they going to – and why would they fight for Baron Corbin to have bragging rights to being a great captain? You know, like even that doesn't make sense. So I don't know. Wishful thinking that they would have had the heels go over. But the other two matches, there was, again, we talk about the format of the show. They have these run-ins, no decision, and then they don't follow up on it. The other two, the announcers are like, whoa, you know, certainly the Revival deserve a rematch. Graves should have said that. I don't think he did. And Nikki Cross and Bayley, that's the one where there wasn't a decision for a spot at stake in the match, right? That just ended with all the chaos and then no follow-up.
That's right.
So get invested in matches, folks. But if there's not a finish, we'll pretend that stip didn't really matter and never really happened, and it'll probably turn into a big tag match, which then ended up happening. So I don't know if Nikki being on the winning end of the 8-woman tag means that she gets that spot, but Bayley wasn't involved, so I guess that wouldn't make any sense. So no, I'm trying to make sense of it. The more I talk about it, the less sense the whole middle of the show made. That said, getting back to you, Grant, I thought that the Miz TV segment was fine. I mean, I think it was good, you know, at building up that match and setting the stage for it. So I have sat through SmackDowns that felt less consequential than this, even if I had some frustration and confusion over the middle of the show that was supposed to have these big ramifications on the tag matches.
Well, you cheered me up a little bit, and I do think we're supposed to assume that Nikki's a part of the team because she did get the pin in the 4v4 match against the NXT women. And seeing Mia Yim actually in the ring wrestling tonight was kind of encouraging after watching NXT on Wednesday. I was that really had me worried about her health. So I guess it's a little bit better than nothing, but when it comes to, you know, ratings and what we're talking about with the ratings war going on and cable ratings declining, I don't think the show did SmackDown any favors. Which, does that mean that, you know, post Survivor Series, we're going to get to see a CM Punk on Fox SmackDown, since, you know, the ratings were pretty terrible for their first show and they brought him in? You know, I guess there could be hope that if the ratings decline too much on SmackDown, they'll start bringing in stars that we would never thought we'd see in a WWE ring again.
I talked about this a lot on the Waykeller Hotline yesterday. The return of Punk. And I mean, if you would have said 5 years ago, oh yeah, you know, years from now, Punk's going to return after MMA and really staying out of wrestling, he's going to return. And it's going to be on a cable talk show that, that was viewed by fewer than 50,000 people the week before. And he's going to be brought in to try to get the ratings into the six figures of viewership, maybe even to the low six figures. And, I mean, I know it's big news. Punk is back. They're talking about him on SmackDown. Just Michael Cole saying his name feels weird. I get all that, but he's like, this should have been a really positioned as like a really monumental deal. And I mean, you can explain the circumstance. He doesn't want to wrestle, but he's willing to take a big paycheck and AEW this and that. And we needed him and we want FS1 to be happy. I mean, you can all, but it's CM freaking Punk. And he did a run-in on a talk show while Samoa Joe and Booker T were like, whoa. And now Michael Cole, and I love Michael Cole's plug. For my money, it's one of the funnest shows on TV right now. That is so a quintessential Michael Cole line, where he endorses something and it makes you not want to watch and it makes you not want to listen to him ever again on anything. For my money, it's one of the funnest shows on TV right now. Oh, it's so lame. Mike, your take on don't let my take affect yours. What was your take on the CM Punk news and having him mentioned in that clip of him and the context of it on SmackDown? Do you think it should have been a bigger deal and put it in a different way, or does this sort of work given the totality of circumstances?
Well, not to derail the CM Punk thing, but what you just said about Michael Cole reminded me of something he said tonight during the Heavy Machinery match. They did one of their high-impact maneuvers, and Michael Cole's commentary was, "Fun and effective." And I thought that was also a classic.
I don't even know.
As for...
Fun and
I didn't
effective.
Know something could be so painful, so violent, something that can put your opponents out of commission. But what fun?
Oh, fun and effective. Wow. That should be the name of a tag team. Maybe, you know, I'm not real high on what are Santana and Ortiz? Prideful and powerful. Is that it or something like that? I'm not real. I don't think it rolls off the tongue, but maybe fun and effective. That could be a name for Santana and Ortiz. No, not really. But there's probably a tag team who could use that name. So we should come up with them.
They not, call not me effective because I'm no fun.
So Mike, how about CM Punk? We're done picking on Mike.
I don't know. I might be the wrong guy to ask because that his what the biggest potential free agent of the last several years, and it's all depending on what he wants to do, and he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do. He could definitely work a few big matches if he wants at his age, and if we had more faith in WWE's booking, and I don't know who's more involved, if it's WWE or Fox with what he's doing on this backstage talk show, but if they played it right, that could be the seed that's planted that could lead to a big angle. And I know it's a really low key way to do it, but it would make for a really cool story a year from now or at WrestleMania or at the WrestleMania after next year. So I don't know, but I don't think they think that far ahead really. So it is the weirdest thing is that when WWE reemerges, it's on the show that most people have never heard of. That is really unique.
It's like Jesus Christ coming back to be a judge on Dancing with the Stars. Like, you just think he would aim a little higher.
Oh.
I don't know.
Everybody has.
Oh, man.
You know, so.
With all due respect to Renee Young and the crew there doing a fine job with that show, it had 49,000 viewers the week before, and they're aspiring for 200,000, you know, next week. So, anyway, Grant, I don't even know if we answered your question. I don't know what you last said. It was so long ago, and we've gone on tangents. But anything you want to follow up on or add?
Well, you talked about seeds being planted in there, and I will say that I don't know if this is going to turn out to anything, but through this entire Survivor Series build, we have had Shawn Michaels toy about getting in the ring a couple of times. I think it's been like 3 times in the last 2 months. And we have had AJ Styles kind of do some particularly DX antagonistic things in the ring. I kind of go back to Crown Jewel, where he did the crotch shot to the crowd, and thinking that maybe those are seeds to be planted for an AJ Styles versus Shawn Michaels match at WrestleMania, so that Saudi show's not going to be the last time we see him in the ring.
That would be great. I mean, I'd love to see that. Mike, how about you? What do you think?
I'm all for it. Two of my favorite wrestlers of all time, I think. And
yeah,
since Michaels has already tainted his retirement, there's little harm to be done in having a 4-star, maybe better match with AJ Styles. That would be cool.
Yeah, I don't even care how many stars it is. It would just be really cool to see that match happen. And yes, I mean, coming back under the circumstances that he did, you're not breaking a retirement vow by coming back. You're cleaning up, selling out your retirement by at least letting fans in the United States have a chance to buy a ticket to see what is probably your last match, and get to be there in person for it and not have it exported to the highest royal family bidder. So yeah, I would love to see that. Grant,
to be fair, during that match.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
And no,
during that match, I mean, Triple H tore his pec and he carried that match for basically all four of them. And he was actually pretty good at it.
Yes.
So I would love to see that. But anyways, thank you, Wade, and go VIP.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it. Call again. All right, we'll go to 917 to wrap up the color portion, and then we'll get to our on-site correspondent from Philly and find out what it was like in the building, including what happened off air. 917, go ahead, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, my name is Alex. Hello?
Yep, you're on, Alex.
Hello, my name is Alex. Yeah, I would just like to say, what do you think about Vince Lombardi and Jason Giambi as the head coach for the Broncos? I also saw Pee Wee Herman and Michael Jackson want to do a new tag.
I have a feeling that wasn't headed towards a wrestling question, so I'll let it go there. We'll end there, and we'll come back, Mike, with our on-site correspondent, and then answer email questions. So, if we didn't get to you, or you were about to call in, just email us your comments or questions. It can be in reaction to anything we said so far on the show. Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. Wade Keller Podcast at pwtorch.com. So we'll be back right after this. Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE Pay-Per-View.